And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
So there you hear Jane Fonda as she announces the winner for Best Picture, the first time a non-English-speaking film has been chosen the Best Picture for the Oscars. It, of course, also won as the Best International Feature. It won for the screenplay. It won for its director. A huge night for Parasite at the Academy Awards last evening. I'd like to hear from you what you thought of the Academy's choices. If there were differences, I'd like to hear why you thought another performance or film or screenplay was more worthy of being honored. And what did you think of the show itself? Again, there was not a single host. It was a series of rotating hosts. Sometimes it seemed like people came on just to introduce other people. It was a little unwieldy to me, but to me, the Oscars, as in terms of entertainment value, has never had a lot of it as a show, but I'd be interested what you think. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Joining me to talk about what happened last night, our own Claudia Puig, Film Week critic and president of the LA Film Critics Association, and Tom O'Neill, the founder, president, editor of Gold Derby, the online publication that tracks and predicts all the major award show winners. Tom, good to have you in studio after all these years.
Yeah, it's an honor.
I appreciate it. I get to see Claudia all the time, but it's great to have you. Well, but always nice, Claudia. I didn't mean like this old hat. Let's start. Tom, let me start with you on this, because you guys actually predict this. Were there any upsets from what you anticipated?
We had 35 experts at Gold Derby predicting who would win. Claudia did very well. 75%. Bravo.
Wow.
And she's one of the few who got Bong Joon-ho right for director. So Well done, Claudia.
Thank you.
I got Parasite right. I was one of nine of the 35 who got it right. So it was a very complicated year.
It was.
It was a strange derby season because 1917 had won PGA, it had won DGA, it had won BAFTA,
it had
won the Golden Globe. All the indicators were pointing toward 1917, at least taking one of the two prizes, picture or director. But I think there was such joy everywhere when Parasite did it.
Yeah. Claudia, for
absolutely
you, what
agree.
To what do you attribute your outstanding predictive ability
it wasn't
this
that,
year?
It was not that outstanding because I didn't get Parasite. I wanted Parasite more than anything, but I thought it was going to go to 1917. I thought it was going to split. I thought it would go to 1917 as Best Picture and Bong Joon-ho as director. And I didn't expect him to get original screenplay either. So it could not have gone better because I'm a huge fan of Parasite. It was for the first time in a while, it seems like the Best Picture actually went to the Best Picture. The most inventive, original, compelling film. And everything. There are a lot of things that were not surprises. All the acting categories, I think we all knew, going into it, that Laura Dern was going to win, that Brad Pitt was going to win, that Renee Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix. So I think the biggest surprises came with Taika Waititi also winning adapted screenplay. And, somebody pointed out, it's like, yes, Oscar is so white, but still you had a Maori man win for screenplay and a South Korean man. So, I mean, that shows, I really think that the push is starting to come to fruition, to be inclusive, to be diverse, to bring in younger people, to bring in women, to bring in people of color. Also, this just happened to be a great film.
But there's still so much more stuff to go.
Oh, much
Look,
more, yes.
No woman has won an Oscar for writing since Diablo Cody for Juno back in 2007. We still had only one non-white person nominated among the actors this year. And unfortunately, she played a slave, the cliche kind of role. Mm-hmm. We didn't have...
Well, she was Harriet Tubman.
I know. That's they could have.
I wouldn't call her as a slave. She's one of the most important
SAG
people in U.S. history.
SAG nominated Lupita Nyong'o. There were other options.
Lupita Nyong'o should have been in there. Absolutely.
Been
for
there.
Us.
Yes, for us. Yeah. So it's, you're right. It's very slow going, but the fact that you have a first woman composer for a dramatic composition and the first woman conductor. I mean, all these firsts, we shouldn't be having firsts after, it's taken 92 years, the first foreign language film to win Oscar. But at least it's happening. So, it's slow, but it's happening.
And I thought Patrice Rushen had conducted the orchestra at the Oscars in the past. I was surprised when they said that was the first time because I thought she had been the music director for the Oscars one year. I'd love to hear from you. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. I'd like to hear what you thought about the films that were honored. Also, what did you think of the show as a production? Was it entertaining, at least intermittently? 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. My sense, Claudia, is it's going to be almost impossible for the Oscars to use a single host because social media, it gives such a megaphone to even a small group of people that anybody gets so heavily criticized if they're chosen for anything they said in the past or that they, you know, because of the identity politics, they don't represent the right quote-unquote group or whatever it is. I don't see how they choose a host.
I think you're right. But on the other hand, you know, there's all the talk about cancel culture and, you know, once you've done one thing wrong. And yet, I think when it really comes down to it, people do not get canceled in terms of, you know, you can, you know, it can be Chris Rock and have done one thing, or you can be Joaquin Phoenix, as he, referred to. Thank you for, you know, allowing for redemption, you know, because he said he'd been a scoundrel. So I do think that if they were to go back to one host, yes, there would be lots of complaints, but that's, they might go back to two hosts. But I think the way in which they do it, and given, you know, people's sort of short attention spans, it's like, oh, look, you have Chris Rock and Steve Martin, do this little snippet. Oh, look, you have Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig, do this little snippet. I think that works. As you say, I like the term you used, intermittently entertaining, because I think that's what it comes down
to. Well, that's the best it ever is. I can't think of an Oscars where it's been consistently
entertaining.
For
3 hours, it's hard to be entertaining.
I don't see how you can do that. Let's talk with Mimi in Pasadena. Mimi, what did you think of the Oscar choice last night?
I was absolutely blown away, thrilled, ecstatic. This represents so much for the Asian American community who are pursuing the cinematic arts. I'm kind of shaking because it was just, I mean, I've been on a high since the win. So, I mean, with the 4 awards, Best Director, Best Foreign Language, Original Screenplay, I mean, he knocked it out of the park. By far, this was the best picture of the whole year. And last year, Crazy Rich Asians was supposed to be, you know, we thought, the Asian American community thought that it would be a part of the Oscars, and it really wasn't. And even the presenters, it's gotten a little better. But even the Asian American presenters at the Oscars, you know, Oscars are kind of still so white, but this marks a whole new wave of Asian American representation in the cinema.
Mimi, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your call. Claudia.
It was a really good weekend for Asian and Asian American filmmakers because you had Lulu Wang and The Farewell winning Independent Spirit Award for Best Picture, which it should have been in the Oscar running, I think.
I think the problem with that film is that the protagonist she's a cipher. She just, you don't know who she is. And it put a real burden on Awkwafina to try and play a character. You have no idea who she is. And everybody around her is so great. The grandmother and the, you know, the parents, and say everybody has a personality except the protagonist.
I think that was sort of
the hole in the donut of The Farewell.
Yeah, that may very well be. But I think she was supposed to be a little bit of a cipher because she wasn't sure, you know, she had a foot in one culture and a foot in another. And she was kind of at a crossroads in her life. So I think she was, you know, she was supposed to be probably the least well-drawn character because of that, because she was at a crossroads and she just was kind of, but I hear what you're saying. I still think it was a fantastic film. I mean,
I thought it was a good entertaining film, but I thought that kept it from being, if you would have had a really strong central character, I think that would have been a better film. But I understand what Mina's saying about representation.
It's fantastic.
And to see films, and particularly The Farewell is such a wonderful depiction of cross-cultural stuff. I mean, it's just, and the Asian American trying to navigate between, and even there's so many great conversations between the relatives that live in China versus the ones that live in the U.S. Very funny, but also poignant stuff in that film.
Yeah, I think that anybody who is, you know, the child or grandchild of immigrants relates to it. And I think that, you know, it's obviously a win for the Asian community. It's a win for all people of color and for foreign, you know, foreign films. It's such a inclusive, wonderful day, I think.
It's kind of shocking with all the great films internationally over the years that this is the first one to win, Tom.
Yes.
How does it happen? This is the first time.
It's criminal, isn't it? And in order to address that problem, the Academy recently renamed the foreign film category to say best international film, just to try to at least give the world representation there. But the Academy's got to try harder. If you go to Oscars.org right now and you look at what the Academy voters see when they fill out their ballots, you see where the problem lies. And that is, there's a reminder list that tells you, okay, you can nominate the Parasite actors. But they group them all, these four names together. I think a lot of Westerners need a little more guidance. I think we could all do a better job of identifying these people to help voters do the right thing.
And I think, too, that there's only been 11 non-English films in the history of the Oscars that have been in this category. So, I mean, that's criminal.
Yeah, that is.
It's just
Roma, of course,
Roma.
Was there.
Yeah, that was a bitter. It was funny because I was at the Neon Party last night, which was held at the Soho House. That was where the Roma party was last year. So it felt very bittersweet because I remember being so sad last year and I was so happy this year.
Let's talk with Kim in Van Nuys. Kim, what did you think of the Oscars last night?
You know, for the most part, I thought the Oscars were very good. I don't miss a host. I think maybe announcer, maybe, just to say welcome so-and-so to the stage. But really, I'd like to hear, I'm kind of shocked. I feel like I'm the only person that didn't like Parasite. And it lost me in the last, you know, 7-8 minutes when it just turned into a murder spree. And I wonder why we are overlooking that. I mean, I feel like I learned so much more from Farewell. I learned so much more from Jojo Rabbit. But, you know, and you can even, they tried to kind of explain why the Joker became, you know, a serial murderer. But I think are we in a society now where we're just justifying that if we're overlooking just, you know, murdering innocent people? I mean, he could have left instead of...
Well, I think he was trying to make a point with the film. I have to admit, I enjoyed Parasite a lot. I didn't think it was a great film. I thought it had some significant flaws. But I thought it was an entertaining film for the most part, very darkly funny. I thought the social commentary, it either went over my head or I just didn't quite get beyond what seemed kind of obvious. I think there must have been a subtext that I just saw it and didn't understand. But Kim, I know quite a few people who didn't like Parasite, including very knowledgeable people on film. So one of the reasons I thought it might have an uphill battle to actually win Best Picture. And Claudia, LA Film Critics chose it as Best Picture.
We chose it as our Best Picture. We chose Bong Joon-ho as our Best Director. We chose Song Kang-ho as our Best Supporting Actor. It was very, very much embraced by the LA Film Critics. You know, I think Hollywood has been so reliant on white stories told by white filmmakers that I think this was also a fresh perspective to look, and yet a perspective on Korea, but also a perspective about haves and have-nots everywhere. So I think that made for sort of the universality of it. And I saw it much more as a dark comedy, too. I didn't see it as like, oh, you know, we're raw murder. You know, it all happened very accidentally, and it just, you know, it unfolded the way it unfolded. It wasn't intentional, like in the way the Joker was intentional or something like that.
It's a crime of passion.
Yes. And also, I think we can't overlook the fact that it was given a conventional release in theaters. And, you know, Netflix only won 2 of the categories. It was the most nominated with 24 nominations. It only won 2 with Laura Dern and American Factory. So I think this was also a repudiation of streaming services by a lot of the old guard, you know, who obviously with last year with Green Book versus Roma also repudiated the streaming services. So I think that's something to look at. It was given a conventional release. It was a Cannes favorite. So I think...
It won
Palme d'Or.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's
yes.
made a lot of money in theaters.
And it's made a lot of money. And we usually see the movies that win are the ones that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
All right, 866-893-KPECC. The Air Talk page, kpecc.org. It's a chance for you to weigh in on the Oscars. Which of the performances, the screenplays, the film did you think were best honored? Which ones did you disagree with? And what did you think of the show as a production as well? 866-893-KPECC. or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. One of the things I thought, Tom, when I looked at the honorees this year, I didn't really think there were the usual body of work, sort of, often the supporting actor and actress, or because of what people have done in the past. It felt to me like Brad Pitt really got it for this excellent performance, and that Laura Dern really got it because it was a great performance in Marriage Story. But what did you think?
I agree with all that, but I think if a Parasite actor had been nominated, I think they could have won. And we've seen a pattern of that historically. So I think that's a wild card. But look, Brad Pitt, let's give him a shout out here because he did a courageous thing, as Claudia and I know following these awards. He really was the lead, a co-lead, and he could have gone lead, but he did a very selfless thing by dipping down to supporting and letting Leo go lead. And
he even said in his speech, I'll be happy to ride on your coattails anytime,
right.
Remember?
Yeah. And he has an Oscar, but not for acting. He was a producer of 12 Years a Slave, so he has that. Here's one observation, if I could just throw this out about last night. Very little politics. Very surprising in this very divisive time, there was the Brad Pitt, would maybe think of it, his comment of, well, I only have 45 seconds, and that's more time than John Bolton got. And there were a few other comments here and there, but there wasn't the big Hollywood attack on Washington, which was interesting.
Well, I'm sure they look at the ratings, and it's pretty,
I think Hollywood is more conservative clear than what's we really
even
think.
Joaquin and Renee were, let's bring it together. Let's have, they talked about social problems, but then they said we could solve it together as a family, and that was a great message. But you could see they might have wanted to be a little stronger.
The veal argument by Joaquin Phoenix was interesting. That's the first time I've ever heard a call out to veal.
Right. Vegans unite.
Yeah. All right. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Let's listen to a portion of Brad Pitt's acceptance speech for Best Supporting Actor.
I'm a bit gobsmacked. I'm not one to look back, but this has made me do so. And I think of my folks taking me to the drive-in to see Butch and Sundance and loading up my car and moving out here. And Gina and Ridley giving me my first shot, to all the wonderful people I've met along the way. To stand here now. Once upon a time in Hollywood, ain't that the truth?
We'll be back in just 1 minute on Air Talk with our guests, Claudia Puig and Tom O'Neill, Tom of Gold Derby. It's Air Talk on KPCC.
I've been a scoundrel in my life. I've been selfish. I've been cruel at times, hard to work with, and ungrateful. But so many of you in this room have given me a second chance. And I think that's when we're at our best, when we support each other, not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other towards redemption. That is the best of humanity.
That Joaquin Phoenix, of course, receiving his Best Actor Award for Joker, the role of Arthur Fleck, who starts out as a young man dealing with all kinds of troubles and becomes a psychopath, violent person. Tom, you're mentioning about how this was an example of pulling people together and giving a more inclusive message as opposed to actors telling people what they should think about the politics of the day. I have to assume a lot of this is just driven by the fact they've seen the decline of interest in the Oscars, and that some of that is likely due to the politics.
It is, but I think what was so revealing and really wonderful about Joaquin's acceptance speech was that was, don't you think, Claudia, kind of act... forgive me. It was him saying to his peers, yes, I've been a scoundrel. We saw a little bit of that in the Sean Penn wins in recent years, where later in life he came back and said, I've grown up.
Right.
We all need to be redeemed. And I love that about his speech.
He's made some really great speeches. He made a really great speech at BAFTA, also asking for inclusion and saying it's on us, those of us who have, you know, been the ones to keep people down. We need to be the ones to bring people in. I feel like he's really, he's grown as a person, as much as I can say that. I don't know him at all, but he is really trying. And the fact that he quoted his brother about peace.
And,
I think, he's given some really good speeches.
Monty and Calabasas, you're on Air Talk. Your reaction to last night's Oscar.
My only comment is always this canard of Oscar so white. I I've been a member of the Academy for about 40 years, and it's the same old thing. I said, we are asked to judge what we get. The studios produce the films, the directors, producers, writers, whoever put it together. I don't understand this. I can see how you put performers on stage or who are the presenters, who represents, et cetera. But we still get down to, because a film is Latin, because a film is Asian, because a film is black, are we supposed to judge it by a special criterion? And I don't think that's there. I think that each division of the Academy, we all caucus, we all sit, we all look at it, we exchange those who see the films. I really would like to have Claudia say something about that, because I said you're the head of the critics, and the critics really propel the films. These are the films you should see, and those are the films we get.
All right, Monty, I appreciate it. Claudia Puig.
I hear your point, and I agree with you in that it's the studios. They are, you know, I always say the Academy is kind of the end of the food chain. You are voting on what you get. And it's up to the people who do the green lighting at the studios to really be more inclusive, and then it will trickle down. However, you know, you have films like Waves and Queen and Slim and Us and The Farewell. There were movies this year that were inclusive, that were made by women or people of color that were there. And, we're just as worthy as some of the other films.
But that's a judgment call, because there'd be others who would say they weren't as
right.
worthy.
Right. It's a judgment call.
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge here. Because I would argue A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, directed by a woman, was more worthy than many of the ones that you mentioned. It was a more complete, better directed and executed film. It didn't get nominated for Best Picture.
You're right. And we did see Moonlight win. And Moonlight was a perfect example. And I really, at that point, thought, oh, my God, the Academy's got it. You know, and I think what we do see is, you know, one step forward, three steps back a lot of times. But I think, you know, as this caller says, it has a lot to do with what's being greenlit and what's also it has to do. And we can't, you know, undervalue or, deny the fact that it's up to the studios who or the distributors to push these films to get it to the eyes of the Academy members and to the critics. And for that matter, we as critics are going to see everything. So we're going to be looking. But I will say that as the LA film critics, you know, when we vote every year, we've had two of our most inclusive years. Last year was, I think, our most inclusive year to date in terms of women and people of color winners. This year also very much so. We don't discuss it. We don't talk about it. Oh, you know, it's not like, oh, let's look at the most diverse. And it's not anything that is ever overtly discussed. It just happens.
I think, though, there's the suspicion of some that there's an effort to virtue signaling, so that if you want to be well thought of as a critic, you're going to champion films that highlight people of color or have people of color who are involved in the creative of, because you get positive reinforcement for that.
Well, I'll speak for our group, and we usually tend to pick unusual choices, kind of offbeat choices. You know, we've picked Bong Joon-ho before for Mother. So a lot of times it's just critics want to pick films that other people, you know, that not everybody has been championing. We didn't pick Renee Zellweger for Best Actress. We picked Mary Kay Place for Diane. It wasn't that that's a particularly inclusive choice to white women. It was just a smaller film that we thought really deserved attention. So a lot of times it's putting the spotlight on films that we feel deserve attention, being advocates for a smaller film, whether that's inclusive or not inclusive. Ideally, it would be. But oftentimes it's just, you know, let's put a spotlight on something that's worthy that isn't getting a spotlight.
I wonder if this whole issue is fixable, you know, when you think about diversity, because it is, as you said, so subjective ultimately that one person's being inclusive and giving proper weight to a film highlighting people of color is another person's, oh, that movie wasn't that good. It was put in because people of color. And I don't know how you resolve that conflict.
I don't think it's easily resolvable, but I think it comes up a lot. I mean, I even think with last year's Green Book win, there were a lot of people, I think maybe primarily white people, maybe some black people, that thought, oh, this is a great movie because it's about a friendship between a white man and a black man, you know? And then other people said, oh, no, it's insulting. It's, you know, it's the white savior and all that. So I think the area is a very difficult area, just as, you know, racism and sexism is something that's so entrenched in our society. It's really hard to to parse it out. And as you say, it's not easily fixable.
Let me share some more comments. Glenna writes on the page, I don't think the Best Picture Award should go to films to try to right past Academy wrongs. It should go to the Best Overall Picture, period. Parasite was great, but it fell apart tonally, dramatically, and character-wise toward the end. It ultimately felt more like an idea than a story. In contrast, 1917 was flawless start to finish, in my opinion, the best picture of the past several years. It's that rare cinematic experience wherein every creative aspect fires on all cylinders and keeps you riveted and moved even on multiple viewings, despite the deceptively simple plot. Norma writes, the only place I've heard of Waves is here in the last few days. I guess I have to check it out. Indeed,
yes.
You do. Jeffrey writes on the page, I'm pleased that a great film won. I thought Jojo Rabbit was the best of the nominated group. I found 1917 to be just okay, despite my high hopes. You can share your comments on our AirTalk page at kpecc.org. And I want to thank you both. It's really been fun to talk about, as always, so many good issues to sink our teeth into. Tom, what do you think of the production last night?
I liked it. I thought the opening number was great, and we know what a hard job, an impossible job this is to do. I loved the show.
All right. And Claudia, what did you think of it as a production?
I think I found it intermittently entertaining, as you said. There were times that I really appreciated it, and then there were times when it got a little slow for me.
All right. Do you like the cat's homage? And they started batting the microphone. I thought that was pretty funny, actually.
There were some funny moments, definitely.
All right. Thank you both so much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Dom O'Neill, Gold Derby founder, president, editor, Claudia Puig, our own film week critic and president of the Los Angeles Film Critics Association, which also chose Parasite as its best picture of the film and the Academy following suit. And I think it's fair to say that a number of our film week critics, Justin Chang among them, touting Parasite had a big impact on the success of that film, taking a film that might otherwise have been overlooked and really bringing it to prominence. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back in just a minute.